from Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Hour three of the big show. Great to have you with us on this Friday after Thanksgiving. Happy Black Friday, you folks out there shopping. Hope you got your Kevlar vest and wet wipes and face burkas and all that other kind of nonsense you need. Anyway, real quick, before we get to Liz Peek, want to share this information coming out of the Washington Examiner. This is a fascinating story out of Nevada as they began to decipher the vote and what happened. Now, they noticed a very unusual anomaly happening in the voter registration, and it was historic. On the voter registration numbers, normally they have, I don't know, a couple of dozen that don't have all the right information. And a lot of these are missing the age of the voter, the sex of the voter. These, whenever you're going in to register to vote, you have to fill out and you have to list all this information. And it basically makes confirmation by the poll workers impossible. Now, in 2016, back in the last presidential election, there were only 68 voter registrations that were missing that critical data. This year, you want to know what the number was? Yes, you do. It was 13,372. So how do you go from 68 voters in 2016 to 13,372 in the 2020 presidential election? And by the way, 74% of those incomplete voter registrations took place between July and September. It's very odd. All right. Again, I promised you I was going to share that information with you. The Washington Examiner has the story. We're going to post a link to it on our live show blog. I want to go to Liz Peek on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Liz, just a lot of weird stuff people are uncovering in this presidential race.
Yeah, every time you feel like, okay, it's time to put this to bed, move on, let's, you know, kind of relinquish the lawsuits and so forth, then you hear something like that and you think, whoa, how can that possibly be? I mean, look, I think we have to sort out from outright fraud the fact that there was a huge push to change the way people voted, obviously huge push for mail-in voting, and that gave rise to a lot of ballots that were inappropriately filled out, received, counted, etc. But what you're talking about probably, and I have absolutely no idea, probably came about or could have come about, I suppose, because of some big voter registration drive that was not done appropriately, not carefully done, et cetera. But the number that you're citing is extraordinary. And as I say, every time you sort of say, okay, ready to move on, let's sort of put all this behind us and figure out what happens next. Because after all, Todd, we have a very serious election taking place in Georgia that is truly all hands on deck, because I am amongst the many Republicans who feel if the Georgia Senate races go to the Democrat contenders, this country really is going to suffer substantial harm. So nothing should interfere with the effort being made to have that vote on January 5th go the right way. But I got to say, I'm alarmed, just as you are, I'm sure, by these stories that keep surfacing about numbers that just don't add up.
And, of course, Sidney Powell's lawsuit, although it was riddled with spelling errors, let me just stop here for a second before we get it, because there are some serious allegations made in the lawsuits. You know, they've got to do this the right way. You know what I mean, Liz? And it just frustrates me because,
yes,
I'm sorry, if really you're going to file what could be a massive historic lawsuit and you've got, you know, at least a dozen typos in the first page. I mean, this aggravates me. I'm already on the outs with
it. It doesn't look serious.
No, it doesn't.
It's a serious matter.
You're right, and it does. And I know I'm on the outs with the campaign right now. They're very upset because I'm raising. You know, I dare my one issue I got in trouble for was just asking privately, hey, is there some evidence here? Can we?
Yeah.
Can you give us a bone? Well, you know what? In this lawsuit, they tell the story of the broken water pipe. I remember this very well when it happened. They had to evacuate and shut down. Well, it turned out just to be a tiny leak in a bathroom. And according to the lawsuit, people, even though they evacuated, there were several people that were left behind, and they were still allowed to count and do whatever they were doing with nobody watching. And again, to your point, it is just really troubling.
It is troubling. And, you know, I was reading something today about USB drives that have gone missing. And I can't remember what state it was, but a significant number of them where I guess they were downloading from the machines the information on votes to tally the votes, and now all of a sudden we can't find a whole bunch of them. I think this is a mess, and I don't think it's going to be possible for the Trump team, the Trump campaign, to round up all these errors and problems and sort them out in a very short period of time, and that's really kind of what has to happen here. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think that Trump is going to be shown to be the winner. As you say, there just hasn't been enough revealed that would lead anybody to that conclusion, I think.
Now, I know we've got the Pennsylvania, the Court of Appeals rejected the lawsuit, yeah, which could, you know, bump, yeah, that up to the Supreme Court. But that is my concern. Look, I believe something is not right, but somebody's got to come up with the evidence.
Yeah. I agree with you. And you know, it's frustrating, right? Because here, for example, in Georgia, the reason you have a group of people now say boycott the vote in Georgia is they believe that the recount was sort of meaningless. It seems to me like it was meaningless because one of the big issues is signature verification. And as I understand it, the envelopes that you need to verify signatures are thrown away. They're separated from the ballots. So how can you ever rectify that? How can you ever, audit that? I don't think you can. So this is far too many states changed the rules at the last minute. Most of those rules were changed on the behalf of Democrats. They don't do things unless it's in their own self-interest. And so we know we should have seen this coming. I think many people did see it coming, including Trump. But unfortunately, I just don't think we're going to get there, Todd.
It's going to be an uphill climb, and Mount Everest we're climbing, I'm afraid. Liz, I was reading your column over at foxnews.com, and again, just talking about the massive numbers that still came out to vote for the president in spite of everything that that they have been, yeah, through and the president has been through over the past 4 years.
Well, that's the extraordinary thing, isn't it? I mean, this president, who was duly elected, was absolutely clobbered from day one, unceasing attacks from the liberal media, such as you and I have never seen in our lifetime, just so dishonest, so biased, not only making up stories like Russiagate, which was really just a hideous attack on our democracy. If you're looking for an attack on our democracy, there it was. And it really is going to just gall the hell out of Republicans going forward that no one really is going to ever be held accountable for having lied to the FISA court, lied to the American people, Adam Schiff lying to Congress. You know, I can get pretty worked up as I am right now just thinking about it. It is so unfair, but it happened, and Ukraine happened, and an impeachment happened. You know, turns out, guess what? Donald Trump asking for information about Joe Biden's and Hunter Biden's activities in Ukraine looks like a pretty reasonable request at this point, doesn't it? So at the time, that was sort of an impeachment-worthy offense. All of that happened, and yet the guy still ends up with 74 million votes. And, by the way, even now, and I say even now because obviously the media's hammering him for not ceding to Joe Biden, even now, 91% approval amongst Republicans, a far higher number, by the way, that Obama had amongst Democrats as he was leaving office. President Trump has forever change the Republican Party, in my view. And I love the idea of some commentators that it's going to go back to the traditional establishment Republican. No, it's not. No, it is not, because I think too many people are now aware of serious issues such as the really profound threat from China that Trump was willing to talk about and none of his predecessors had been. And by the way, the way forward for the Republican Party is much more embracing and open to working people, Hispanics, Black Americans, etc., than any Republican Party in the past. So I say kudos to Trump. I wish he had won. I wish desperately he had won. But I'll tell you what, at the least, we have got to, again, protect the Senate majority so that this all doesn't go sliding backwards.
It's imperative. And with Stacey Abrams out there already saying more than 750,000 mail-in ballots have been requested, we're watching the fix right before our very eyes. And so it's imperative that I put out a call last week. The president and every Republican needs to be in the state of Georgia, and they need to be campaigning around the clock for Loeffler and for David Perdue.
Yes, and they also have to be telling this group that is threatening to boycott the election that is without a doubt the stupidest thing that they could do. Because
absolutely.
Boycotting an election and seating, and I just know the Democrats are behind this. They're certainly cheering it on, but I'm sure there are bots or whatever that are promoting this thing, and it's on Parler. You can find it. Boycott the vote, and if they do this, it is a very slim margin that separates these candidates right now, both of them. And I think Perdue is in they're both in a good position to win. They cannot have any defections from the Republican conservative bloc and expect to win these elections. So, I honestly can't understand the mentality behind it. We have, the Electoral College is at risk, all kinds of the Green New Deal and defunding the police, all those issues are on the table. And if you really want to hand the baton to Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, you must be out of your mind.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, Liz, we're going to leave it there. Great column on Fox News, and I hope you and hope you and the family had a great Thanksgiving.
Yes, and you too. Thanks so much for having me.
Liz Peek, ladies and gentlemen. And look, I know, I think I probably am a bit more optimistic than Liz is, but the reality is, and again, I'm a realist, it is an uphill climb, and that uphill climb is Mount Everest. We've got a lot riding on this, and it does frustrate me. I stayed up late, right after midnight, the lawsuit came down from Georgia, and, you're reading the lawsuit, and I mean, the first three words are typographical errors. And I know that might sound petty, but in the great scheme of things, folks, these are major documents. We've got to make sure everything is right. We've got to make sure that this is taken seriously. And what happens when you botch things like that, the mainstream media goes off on the squirrel chase. And it's unfortunate because there's a lot of information in this lawsuit that should disturb you. This information coming out of Pennsylvania, I told you about Nevada before Liz came on the show. Here's the latest from Pennsylvania. They were able to look at six counties. Joe Biden's campaign was able to surpass Barack Obama's 2008 performance by a combined 268,000 votes. That's three times more than the current margin of 81,660 votes. And all of this happened in a state that President Trump won in 2016, with Joe Biden and the Democrats vowing to outlaw, to ban fracking. It doesn't make sense. So we've got to hope and pray this gets to the Supreme Court and they've got the evidence to back all of this up. That's the challenge, getting the evidence. I mean, these Democrats, they're wily. You got to be able to catch them in the act. And we can only hope with all the evidence they've got that there's something that's going to stick. All right, got to take a break here, folks. We're opening up the phone lines, 844-747-8868. It is Open Line Friday. That means you can talk about whatever you would like to talk about, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, this story from New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey, one of the most dangerous cities in America. A New Jersey woman was fired by Starbucks for refusing to wear a gay pride T-shirt because of her religious beliefs. Betty Fries is a Christian woman. Mrs. Fries started working as a Starbucks barista back in 2015. She alleged in a lawsuit filed that in federal court that she was told by her managers that her faith would not be an issue after she transferred to a store in Glen Ridge, New Jersey. Well, a few months later, there was a meeting. This was in June in 2019. And what is June? It's Gay Pride Month. So that's where you celebrate all the alphabet people. And Mrs. Fries, when she went into the coffee house, noticed these stacks of gay pride T-shirts on the desk. And she said, am I going to be forced to wear one of these? And she said, I can't do that because she says, I believe marriage is between a man and a woman. And they told her she would have to wear it. Then they told her she would not have to wear it. Anyway, she said, these people need Jesus. Well, a few days later, she got fired. And according to the documentation from Starbucks, she was told that, hold on, I've got to find this for you. This is great. This is a direct quote from the termination notice from Starbucks. We enforce these values when we embrace inclusion and diversity, and welcome and learn from people with different backgrounds and perspectives. That's what they told the woman in her termination notice. So she is seeking back pay, punitive damages, attorney's fees, and she says that basically Starbucks did not accommodate her religious beliefs. Now, this is the question. Can Starbucks, as a privately held company, can they require workers to support things like gay pride, even if it goes against someone's religious beliefs? Let me take it a step further. What if Starbucks said, you know what, we're going to need you guys to, we're going to need you to start praying at noon. So you're going to have to bring a prayer rug and you're going to have to start acting like a Muslim in our coffee houses. Well, I think that would be unconstitutional. They can't force people to be Muslim. And I don't think they can force people to support gay pride. I mean, quite frankly, why is it Starbucks' business whether or not a barista supports the LGBTQIA plus agenda? Why is that so important? But it seems to me, you know, I thought for a long time that, you know, the most expensive, the costliest thing at Starbucks was a cup of coffee. But it turns out the costliest is not following and bowing down to the LGBT agenda. Well, good luck, Mrs. Betsy Fries, as you file a lawsuit. Got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Don't like Starbucks. Baker, turn your microphone on, please. I was just looking at an image that our good friend Tim Van Horn, the morning show host at KWAM in Memphis, took a photograph inside the men's room at some unnamed establishment in Memphis, Tennessee. And so now apparently the health department, they're roping off urinals.
Yeah, I think I've seen that in the women's bathroom, too, at some places.
So they do that in the ladies' room.
Yeah, I've seen that. Not everywhere, just, you know, I've seen it before.
That's always a world of mystery. You never know what goes on in the ladies' room. I hear it's very nice in there.
We go in groups, haven't you heard?
Yeah, I've noticed that flocks.
Yes, flocks. Okay. Yeah, I saw that image Tim shared. It doesn't surprise me, but it's so funny because there's a divider in between each urinal already. It's just like, why do you need them to be blocked off as well?
And I don't know what I don't know what the ladies do, but the guys, we're pretty much in and out. We're doing our business, and we're not shooting the breeze.
We got to check our makeup and stuff, and then we're out.
Yeah, we typically don't do that. In New York City, Berkeley, I don't know. That may be a different story, but by and large. All right, well, there you go. Just more craziness from the health Nazis out there. Hey, let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Good friend of this program, host of the nationally syndicated All-American Radio, allamericanradio.com, Jen Kearns. Jen, I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, I did, Todd. Hope you did, too. I saw your gigantic chocolate turkey. I'll be right over.
Yes, it was. Oh, that was a delicious chocolate turkey. And by chocolate, ladies and gentlemen, we mean it was actual chocolate. We're not making any kind of, cultural inappropriate, statement here. So just FYI. Although all the that particular turkey, it just had dark meat. So, but ba-dum-bum. Okay, that's it. You know what it is, Jen? It's Friday. We're kind of coasting in here, and we're being a little goofy.
That's all right. I like goofy. Mm-hmm. When you talked about what was written on the bathroom wall, I was getting nervous there because my name's appeared a time or two on a bathroom wall, maybe not in the best way.
Holy cow. Wow. There you go. Jen, a lot going on as we watch the reports coming in of anomalies, voter fraud allegations, Sidney Powell's lawsuit. You had the third Circuit Court of Appeals rejecting Trump's lawsuit. Liz Peek isn't feeling so good. We just had her on. How do you feel? Are you still optimistic here?
Well, I'm still optimistic, but certainly the path has narrowed. Initially I put Trump's chances of still pulling this out somewhere between 58% and 65%. I'm down to about 38 to 40%, but it is still possible. The path here for Trump, I have said all along, and it looks like it's going that direction, is that they're going to take Pennsylvania all the way to the United States Supreme Court. And I think that's what they're doing. And I think Trump's strategy, he's hinted at this. I've poked around with sources there on the Trump legal and ballot security team. They have said that they want to basically decertify Pennsylvania. And if they can do that, it looks like Trump is looking to decertify also the state of Georgia to create enough concern there that they would actually take that off of the Biden board. If you could get two states to come off of that Biden ledger, so to speak, you would be well on your way to robbing Joe Biden of the 270 electoral votes he needs in just 2 weeks on December 14th. So things could get interesting. I know folks are sort of all like, oh, we're kind of winding down and oh, he's not going to get it. Actually, I think we're now at the most interesting time point because this is where it goes to the Supreme Court. And if those two states could get decertified by the Trump legal ballot security team, boy, this could really go to the House of Representatives, Todd, where the odds are better in our favor. It would, I think, end up in a 26-24 vote as 26 states have a Republican majority, and that could actually end up settling the presidential election. So the path is more narrow than it was a week ago when we spoke, but it's not over yet, and I think the ending could be very dramatic, like an Apprentice live cliffhanger here.
Wow. All right. Will Chamberlain, who runs Human Events, which is really, I guess, is it fair to say it leans more libertarian, I guess, conservative libertarian?
Yeah, I would say so.
Will Chamberlain put out a series of tweets. He is a lawyer, by the way. He, weighing in on the Third Circuit decision, he points out that the three judges were all appointed by Republicans. Trump appointed one of the judges, and that was the judge who wrote the ruling and basically said the campaign just did not have the evidence. And again, he's, Chamberlain, and Chamberlain's getting crucified over this. And he's saying, hey, look, I'm not saying I want the president to lose. I'm just from a legal standpoint, I'm just trying to explain to you this is what's going on. But, Jen, I got to tell you, Anybody who raises any doubts, any questions whatsoever about this, they get attacked immediately by, you know, the Trump team.
Well, that is true. That is true. And I do agree a bit with Will. Look, I looked at the political makeup of the entire Third Circuit because I wasn't sure initially which judges it was going to go to. The Third Circuit does lean very Republican. It's a 57% Republican makeup. Only 43% are Democrats. Typically has favored with Republicans. But you also have to remember when we say Republican, that could also mean a George W. Bush, a very establishment type Republican. So I think you really have to dig a little deeper when you look at the makeup of the judges who made this decision yesterday. As for the evidence, look, I think Rudy Giuliani made a tremendous case Wednesday when he testified. I think it was 1.8 million absentee voters were sent out and 2.5 million absentee ballots came back in. That is a statistical anomaly. That means, Todd, somebody was out there printing absentee ballots and turned them in because more absentee ballots actually came back in than were sent out. That's alarming to me. I can tell you I was an assistant secretary of state of the largest state in the nation with 40 million people back in the mid-2000s when we first had absentee voting started and when we first had electronic system voting. We had the Diebold systems out there instead of the Dominion. And so all of this is sort of deja vu. I was talking to some of my colleagues the other day. I'm like, did we go back in time 10 years? but it is alarming when you start having more ballots of a certain type come back in than actually were sent out by the Secretary of State's office. That is a big no-no. That means somebody was actually printing ballots somewhere. And I know that sounds like a Manchurian candidate plot line, but there's no other explanation than that.
No, and again, I know these, you know, it sounds, silly to say, but going back to what Hillary Clinton told Biden, no matter what happens on election night, don't concede, never concede the race. Then you got Biden out there saying, and a lot of people thought it was a gaffe. Maybe it wasn't when he said that, you know, that he had the most extensive voter fraud organization in political history. it looks like he may have been telling the truth.
Yeah, and it might have been a Freudian slip there. You also have people like the vice president of Dominion Voting Systems. Now, I know people think that's controversial to say, but he was on a call in Denver, Colorado with Antifa, and he said, don't worry, guys, keep up the pressure, keep up the riots, keep up the protests. This was about 6 weeks before the election on around September 27th. And he said, we're going to deliver the election for Joe Biden. Don't you worry. That's the guy. His title is Vice President of U.S. Election Engineering. No pun intended. He is making comments like that. If you remember back in the George W. Bush race, when Kenneth Blackwell, who was then Secretary of State of Ohio, made one simple remark. He just said, as the chairman of the Bush campaign in Ohio, we're going to deliver this for you, Mr. President. He was speaking as a member of the Bush committee, not as Secretary of State, but the left never let that guy forget it. And so you got to give equal scrutiny to the comments that are made by the left in this case. It looks like there was a lot of shenanigans happening across the country.
Oh, no doubt about that. And we just have to hope and pray, Jen, that they've got the evidence. I mean, look, I just, you know, and the president, I think, acknowledged as much earlier today. He said, you know, that time is not on our side. And so I say, you know what? Get to it, folks. Got to get to it. Hey, real quick, what is happening this week on All American Radio? Big show coming up on Sunday.
Big show coming up on Sunday. We're going to be talking about all of this and the final legal pathways available to President Trump. We've invited Jenna Ellis on the show. She was there. She patched President Trump in on the hearing on Friday or Wednesday, sorry. And we'll be talking about a lot of stuff happening across the country, what people did for Thanksgiving, what they did for church service on Sunday. It'll be a great time and a big slap in the face to Gavin Newsom and Andrew Cuomo all around the country.
All right. Love that. Jen Kearns, host of All American Radio, allamericanradio.com. Check out the website, also where you can listen to the program. It's a terrific show and a great way to spend your Saturday evening. Jen, I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. God bless.
Thank you so much, Todd.
All right. Great person there. Good lady. You know, this is interesting. I will say this. There's look, I'm going to say things that are going to tick off politicians. And the reason I do that is because we do not go by anybody's talking points on this program. I just say what I feel about things. I really do. So if the Trump legal team is upset with me, I get it. But you know what? The only reason I do what I do and say what I say is because I want them to succeed. We have way too much riding on this for foolishness. We really do. So if they want to be mad, it's okay. I get it. It happens. It happens. But at the end of the day, I think we are all in this for the right reason. And that reason is to make sure that the socialists never get a hold on this country. We just can't let that happen. And I'm serious about the president going to Georgia, and I'm glad he is going to the state of Georgia. He needs to be there, but so does every other elected Republican leader. We've got to make a big, bold stand in Georgia, and we've got to make sure that we keep control of the United States Senate. And as you heard Liz Peek say so eloquently, if we lose the Senate, we are going to go into a very dangerous period in this country. So we've got a lot of work to do, and we're going to do our part here on this radio program. Got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, got a little bit of civil disobedience going down in Minnesota. Oh, this is a great story. Larvita Mfarquhar. Wow, you got to be careful saying that name. Woo! Larvita Mfarquhar owns Haven's Garden. It's a bar. And the bar has live music, and they have food. And apparently a lot of folks around town, this is in Lind, Minnesota, population 448. So it may be the only bar in town. Anyway, she has announced that she is going to reopen her bar in defiance of the governor. This is from thedailywire.com. We'll just call her Miss Larvita. Miss Larvita, a single black mom. And she says that, this is her livelihood. She has been threatened by the state. Governor Tim Walz, who's the Democrat, has issued a new order. This is a brand new order, forcing all bars and restaurants to close down. And she said that she was warned of the consequences if she defied the order. Here's what Mrs. Mfarquhar, and we're going to try to get her on the show Monday. She says, no person in power has the authority to shut down a business for no reason and pick and choose who can stay open and who cannot. For me, it's about taking a stand. Good for you, ma'am. We always want other people to do things, but it's time that we, the people, stand up and say, no, we're not going to agree with these outrageous demands. If she decides to defy the governor, which she says she's going to do, she will face a civil penalty of up to $25,000 plus other expenses. This is a sad thing that's happening in our country, but good for you, Miss Larvita. Good for you. But someone asked this question earlier, Todd, what are we going to do? Well, I'm telling you, they can't shut down all of us. So maybe, just maybe, it's time for the chambers of commerce to come together, organize businesses, and say, you know what, we're not going to tolerate this. Maybe you're in a strip mall, and every single person in that strip mall, you make a decision, you make a pact, and you say, you know what, they're not going to shut us down, we're opening up our businesses. You know, one of the very interesting things, and this happened here in Memphis, which is my hometown, by the way, which is why I came back here, because I wanted to do something for my community. One of the reasons, one of the concerns that I have here from the Shelby County Health Department, a lot of the restaurants, they said, you know what, we'd like to see some evidence here. You say you've got the data. We'd like to see your data. Because these restaurant owners are telling us that, you know what, nobody on our staff is getting the China virus. Our customers are not getting sick. So where is the data that shows that most people in our area of the country are getting the China virus because they're going down to, I don't know, the Alchemy cocktail bar, or they're going to, you know, the Chop House, or down to the Commissary barbecue joint? Where is that evidence to show that people are coming down with the China virus because they're simply going to a bar to listen to music down on Beale Street, or they're going out to dinner at the Piccadilly? I love the Piccadilly. It's a great little place. Where is the evidence? That's what the restaurant owners are asking. And I think that we need to start demanding to see the evidence. Let's see it. I mean, maybe the health department, maybe they do have the evidence. But if they did, why would they not share that? Because it would certainly silence a lot of the critics out there. I mean, it's one thing to say, we're going to shut down the restaurants, and you're marching in the street saying that's tyranny. But it's another if the health department comes out and says, you know what, we don't want to do it, but we got to shut down the restaurants, and here's the reason why. Because every time you go into the Chick-fil-A, we got 75 people coming down with the China virus. But I don't think that's happening. So there's something else going on here. Seems to me that a lot of people in these health departments are on a power trip. Have you ever seen the movies at the teen angst movies where the people that get bullied, you know, they're the people that are being bullied in high school and maybe junior high, and then the movie progresses and they're older now, and all of a sudden the people that were once bullied are in positions of authority and now they're bullying other people? Well, I think a lot of people that are running these health departments were like bullied as kids in junior high and high school, and now they're getting payback. That's what this is really all about. So look, we're going to stay on top of all of this stuff. It's only going to get crazier, but we're going to be here to work our way through it. We're going to share a few laughs together. We're going to pay very close attention over the weekend to any court cases that might be adjudicated around the presidential election. And folks, you got to fight. You got to stand and fight. Look, it's been a great, great week. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you folks. Get out there. Have a great Friday. Whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend. I'm Todd Starnes.